This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
I'd like to talk to you about, I guess, the definition of soul. What is a soul? What is the soul? Why is that word as predominant as it is? And why does the soul, the concept of the soul, bring with it a concept of spirituality? I mean, there must be some link there. Why does somebody say, oh, my soul? What do you mean, my soul? How are we to see this word that has so many conceptions in a proper perspective? Because we identify with it as being a significant aspect of our being. Everybody does. Now, you've broke my heart. You hurt my soul. It's the ultimate problem. There's confusion. It shook me to my very soul. Some expressions. Well, we have to turn to the Vedic literature because we need to have a clear definition of what a soul is and its characteristics. And we have to understand, what is my relationship? What is my condition? What is my attachment? How do me, my conscious being, and the soul, how do they marry up? Well, the Vedic literature starts out in the very first verse of the very first book. And they teach you that you are the spirit soul. There's no other type of soul. It's spiritual. A soul is a spiritual spark of energy, a fragmented part of the Supreme Spirit, God, Krishna, the ultimate person. And one spark, one atom of spirit is a soul. And every soul is a conscious being. What? Wait a minute, what? Say it again? Yes. You, me, everyone you'll ever know, every animal you'll witness, many other species of life, they are all one spiritual soul, one spiritual atom. The potency, the characteristics, the qualities of God are in every one of those souls. Just like there's a big lake and you wonder, oh, is this lake pure or is it contaminated? You just take a few drops and the laboratory does an analysis on the few drops to tell you what the whole lake is. Similarly, the Supreme Spirit Soul, the cause of all manifestations, is there in every spirit soul, every drop of spirit. The characteristics are there. The eternal qualities of God are there in the eternal qualities of a living entity. You are a totally spiritual soul, as am I, as in everyone that you see here. We are all eternal spirit souls. We're looking at the bodies that cover the soul, but the soul is giving the animation to the body, the energy source, the consciousness source. Now, in general, the soul is considered amazing. It's eternal, it's full of energy, there is no other power source, it has independence, it has potency, it has desires, so many characteristics that the soul has, and they're eternal. That makes the soul amazing. And they are independent of nature. Nature is a material substance, a machine, material arrangement of a machine. But the soul is a spiritual energized particle with consciousness. That's what we're energized with, is consciousness. And the bodies that we take on are simply vehicles for us to express that energy, that eternal consciousness. So the intricacies of how the soul is running a body, how the soul gets into a body, how the soul transmigrates to another body at death of this one, is called a great science, Sankhya philosophy, the science of the soul. To understand the characteristics, qualities, traits of a spirit soul, you understand simultaneously those characteristics of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So we are identical, like unto God, in qualities. But the quantity, the size, the scale is completely different. The Lord is unlimited. No one can measure his potencies. No one can measure the size of his creations. We are just one living particle, atom of God. But we have all the qualities. So by our desires, nature facilitates and we get a body. And we energize that body, and we use that body as a vehicle, and we express ourselves through that body, and we cause there to be results, good or bad, and those results impact upon us, and we become entangled, implicated in the action and reaction sequence of the machine. And when we become tired of that, when we become frustrated with that, when we become anxiety-ridden because of that, we try to revive our understanding of our original condition as an eternal spirit soul. So if we don't identify with the material body, if we identify as an eternal part and parcel of the Lord temporarily using a body, this is proper identification, proper identity. And this is called knowledge in goodness, proper perspective knowledge. If I misunderstand who I am and my qualities and characteristics, then I misunderstand my duty. But if I understand my position and who I and what I really am, I'm able to adjust my perspective correctly, and I'm able to execute my duty. This is the platform that is called normal. I'm not degraded then. I'm not confused then. I'm not in anxiety. I'm not suffering. But if I consider the body more important than myself, my soul, my personal identity, anxiety comes from every direction. The spirit soul is unlimitedly more important than the body. The body is a short-term thing. Let's be honest. Your body may live 100 years, and that's still a short term. We have knowledge that history has gone on for millions of years. So what is 100? Short, peace. And we have experience that everybody who takes on a material body at some point is forced out of the material body, and the body is useless. It's eaten by worms or bugs. It decays immediately. It starts decaying without a spirit soul in it. So the necessity is to understand your true identity and to act on that platform of an eternal spiritual being. And to recognize the soul is me. I don't have a soul. I am the soul. And as the soul, I have potencies of God. Small quantity, but I have them. And the idea that I can revive the pure state, that I can live in a pure condition, free from the contaminations that the body puts upon me and limitations, etc., etc., that concept of life is the true progressive status of human existence. You can't do it in a bug body. You can't do it in a plant body. You can't do it in an animal body. You can't do it in any of the bodies but the human body. So while you have the human form of life, it's ultimately important that you get the identification correct. I am the spirit soul. I'm energizing a temporary material body at this time, and I'm being looked upon by everyone else and identified as this body. Your name is Joe. You're a man, you're white, you're black, you're tall, you're short, but you're Joe. No. Joe is an eternal living entity like you and me and everyone else, and we're all part and parcel of God, and we're all brothers and sisters. We're all just as good as the other guy. It's simply the bodily covering that is making us appear different. There are uniquenesses of the soul, but they're minor. The definition, the characteristics, the abilities of the soul is the same. So because of miseducation in the material world and misidentification in the material world, everybody's being trained that you're the body and that you have to kick it as hard as you can to do as much as you want to do before you die and the lights go out. And this is described in the Vedic literature as ignorance. Just plain ignorance. A fool, stupid, uneducated, less intelligent, does not know his true identity. I mean, think about that. It's like going to into court and they say, state your name. Oh, I don't know. Where are you from? I don't know. How old are you? I don't know. What do you know? Nothing really. I don't know. They say, he has amnesia. Yes! The people in this material world have amnesia. They don't remember. They don't remember that they are eternal living entities, part and parcel of God, who have come here to fulfill desires and finish those desires and return home back to Godhead and revive their eternal servant relationship with the Lord. So this is why the Vedic literature is here. This is why the bona fide religions are here. This is why the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is here. To revive you from your amnesia. You can't be forced to wake up, but the opportunity can be presented to you, and if you're attracted, you can wake yourself up. Oh, look. Oh, somebody explained this to me different than I've ever had it explained. Oh, my position, oh, my situation, my identity is all different than I thought it was. This is called a sea change in consciousness. The person is no longer in the illusory conception of life. He has revived his original consciousness of life, and he's now starting to act such that it's in relationship to his true identity. So this makes many, many difficulties go away. He understands transmigration. He understands law of cause and effect, karma. He understands a temporary condition of the body. He understands he has an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, and similarly an eternal relationship with all other eternal beings. He understands that there is an eternal occupation that goes with those eternal relationships. He understands everything. This causes liberation. This causes enlightenment. It causes happiness. It causes fulfillment and freedom from the illusory conception of life. That's what Krishna consciousness is. It's reviving that original platform, that spiritual platform. It's not suffering and struggling here in the material manifestation for things that don't matter and that aren't permanent anyway. But we're being taught that by the people who don't know. I get this pretty regularly. People say, oh, no, nobody knows that. Nobody knows the answer. Nobody knows how that works. No, there's nothing hidden. It's just you're not qualified, or you've not met anyone who is qualified. But all the answers to all the questions of life, to all the predicaments that are in front of you, they're all available to you. There is no contamination. There is no problem. But you have yourself in a situation where you have a problem. Just like the sun is always shining. It's just whether you're in position to see it. You could be on the other side of the planet and say, oh, the sun's gone. It's out. The sun's not working. It's not shining. No, it's just in another place. Or the sun is up and there's a little light, but there's no sun because it's clouded. So you're behind the clouds. So it's your position that's limiting the situation. Similarly, our conception that we are the body is seriously limiting our coming to the light of spiritual knowledge. And yet people say, oh, nobody knows. There is no spiritual knowledge. Nobody understands God. Nobody's seen God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You haven't. And maybe there's no one in your circle of associates who has. But that doesn't mean that you can say no one. Because the Vedic literature says that there are more living entities in the spiritual world in association of God than there are in the entire material manifestation. They have already figured it out by reading the Vedic literature and gotten themselves perfected and returned to the spiritual world, reviving their true spiritual occupational duty and living in abject happiness eternally. The Vedic literature says there's three times as many back home as there are here. So immediately, you're in the lesser crowd. We here in the material world, we are in the minority group. So you can see how in the minority group, there may not be a lot of people that know about the majority group. Because we're all in this together. And they're all in the spiritual world together. We don't really have a direct link. I don't know anybody there. None of my neighbors are from there. So we get discouraged. We get confused. We start making these absolute statements. Nobody knows. Yes, somebody knows. That's why the Vedic literature is here. There is the instruction. When you come to this material world, you get the manual. The Vedas, the Vedic literature, is the manual. If you buy a bicycle, you get instructions how to put it together, how to use it. Maybe a different machine. The manufacturer supplies an instruction manual. How to use this machine correctly, how not to break it, how to repair it, how to take care of it. Similarly, the Vedic literature is the instruction manual for a living entity taking a material birth in the material world. You're not alone. You're not abandoned here. You're not an orphan. The information is here. The Vedic literature is the explanation. It's the manual. You simply have to make contact and read it. There are people that are arrogant and they go, a manual came with how to use this thing, but I haven't read it. I can figure it out myself. And they may figure out 50%, 30%, 80%, but they actually don't know everything about the item. They didn't create it. They're the user. So the creator gives you a manual, and you can become fully conversant in the capabilities of that machine. Similarly, the Vedic literature is the manual for human existence. And if you read that manual, you become fully conversant in how to live a perfect life and how to achieve supreme perfection and how to return to the spiritual world in selfless devotional service eternally. But the arrogant, they go, I don't need that. Nah. It's fable, mythology. This couldn't be that way. I don't agree with that. Nah. Who are you to agree or not agree? Who are you to say, I figured it all out? I didn't need the manual. I can figure it out myself. Ha! At this point, 90%, 99% of the people on this planet haven't figured out they're not the body, that they're the eternal spirit soul energizing the body. They are the soul. And that's not what you hear when someone talks about a soul. They're not talking about themselves. They're not talking about who they are, their conscious awareness person. They don't think I am the soul. So how can they say they figured it all out? They missed the first step. So all the other instructions, all the other uses, all the other applications are incorrect. So we have a world of confusion, fear, anxiety, anger, greed, lust, etc. Because you haven't read the manual. So I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care anything about the bodily differences between you and the next guy. Who cares? We're talking to you, the spirit soul, the eternal person in relationship to the eternal supreme personality of Godhead. That's who we're talking to. And we're saying, read the manual. Just read the manual. If you lost your copy, get another one. Get a copy of the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's all in Bhagavad Gita as it is. Read the Bhagavad Gita. Understand your true position, how to use the body, how to act on the proper platform as an eternal spirit soul. How to be a responsible soul. How to make yourself and others around you and many you meet happy. Free them from the misconception and illusion. Because they're all thinking like you had been thinking. Nobody knows. You hear that frequently. Nobody knows the answer to that. You can't say that. You don't know. They're all in the same illusion. So if you understand in proper perspective, if you raise yourself above the misconception, if you know you are the spirit, soul, conscious, living entity, not that you have a soul and you're the body, you can help a lot of people. Because all those people will say, I thought nobody knows, but I met someone who does. They don't have any doubts. They don't have any questions. They read the manual. They know all the answers. I put all these answers before them and they answered them all. I may not have understood all the answers, or I may not have been able to accept all the answers, but they had a very logical explanation, interpretation, clear vision of the answers. All of them. Because they read the manual. So you are an eternal living entity, and you are here in the material world in a temporary body. And the manual for what to do, how to do it, make it work out, and get yourself back to the spiritual occupational duty is in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Vedic literature. You haven't been abandoned, like I said a moment ago. You're here because you want to be, you want to fulfill desires, but you came with a manual so that you can get it figured out when you come to your senses and go, this isn't that fun. It isn't working for me. I'm not as happy as I should be. I want the anxiety to go away. I want the suffering. I want the threats to stop. Read the manual. It's there. It's here. It's always been here. The Vedic literature has always been on this planet. It has always been on every planet in this universe. It is always on every planet in every universe. It's everywhere. Everyone can have access to it. You simply have to look. You have to wake up enough that you're looking. You're not just playing. You're not just suffering. You're looking. So this is what the Vedic knowledge is for. This is what the spirit soul is hankering for. That explanation so that you, the living spirit soul, understands things in proper perspective and can act accordingly. If you take the Vedic literature and you read it and you follow the spiritual master with faith and determination and listen to his instructions and try to understand the reasonings and the plan, understand the explanation, it's a very intelligent, intricate plan. And if you understand it, you can navigate through any type of anxiety, any type of difficulty or problem. And you can reach the highest perfection of life. You can return to your original spiritual eternal consciousness. And it starts by realizing you are the soul. You are an eternal spirit soul. And you're in a temporary body, in a temporary material world. And it's causing you anxiety because you want eternal happiness. And it isn't here to be found. You get glimpses, you get periods or moments of happiness. But you're not living immersed in blissful happiness like you should be, like you want to be, like you know is normal. The Vedic literature is here to teach you how to revive that position, to revive that consciousness. Normal. Total, blissful, spiritual knowledge awakened to the true identity. I am an eternal soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. I am intended to be His servant. I have that ability. I can make a perfect solution to that. That is the opportunity of the human form of life. Read the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.